Welcome to Stories of Hope. This is a podcast by the Dream Center,
where you will hear from people who have stories that once seemed hopeless.
People whose stories of redemption and life transformation are so powerful, they can only be possible by the power of Jesus. Well, everybody, welcome back to Stories of Hope. This is Brady here with Sarah, as always. And we're also joined today by one of our store managers, Shane Nichols. Shane, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Brady. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're excited about hearing your story today and getting to just hang out with you for a little bit.
Absolutely.
First off, I'd love to just kind of hear how you came to be a part of the Dream Center to begin with.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. It's definitely a God move because really before coming to the Dream Center, I had no idea what they stood for or really what they even did. And I would pass by it every day going to just one of my meetings I would go to for recovery. And I decided to stop in, and I actually, first thing I ever saw was one of the employees praying with a customer, and they were both crying. And for some reason, that just stuck out to me, and it was like, that was something I wanted and needed, and I just felt God pressing on me that that's just where I needed to be, and I couldn't shake it, really. And I ended up interviewing, and it was a month-long process through three or four interviews, and it was really just having faith because I really didn't know if I was getting the job and if I was being stupid for not looking for another one. But it was just, I just had this feeling that God, he said, you know, you're going to get this job and, you know, I'm going to grow you through that. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's been incredible.
That's awesome. Well, that's a great, you know, you mentioned passing Dream Center, heading towards recovery meetings and stuff. So I'd love to kind of hear some of your past and kind of some of your testimony as far as what you've been walked through in life up to this point.
I guess long story short, I mean, grew up, I thought was a normal, you know, family, mom and a dad. You know, later on in life, I realized having a dad who hits you and your mom, and it's not really normal. And it did have an impact on me. My childhood consisted of just moving place to place. I never went to a school more than 2 years in a row.
Wow.
So I was always somewhere else. And so change was something I was used to from an early age. And also losing people. I never really got to keep friends, childhood friends. But with my story, I had my brother who passed away in 2011. And I think that's really what kind of made me search for something in my heart that was missing. And instead of, I didn't know about God at this time, and instead of using him, I used just drugs to fill in that hole, and that just progressed. Ended up getting cancer in 2016 or 17, and going through chemotherapy with that, that's when I discovered that opiates were what I thought I needed, because it made me feel accepted and loved. Just all these emotions that, you know, I wanted to feel as a child or just as a teenager, and I just never could, and it felt right. Also, going throughout chemo, it kind of brought back those same abandonment issues with having a lot of people say they're going to be there for you and they're going to come to the hospital. And actually, there's only one person that came and saw me, and that really messed with me. So it was it was easy for me to have an excuse to, you know, numb myself. And I thought at that time, I didn't know what addiction was. So I thought that it was actually helping me because it was coming from the doctor. And soon after, eventually I got into remission, thank God.
So walking through being in the hospital, you know, only one person coming to see you, did that person end up walking through the rest of the journey with you, or was there a moment where you had kind of an encounter with someone that kind of helped you start to turn the page a little bit?
So the person that was there, her name is Kristen, and she's doing her own thing in Georgia where I used to live, but we're still in contact, and she still checks in on me, and she gets really excited about my progress. So she's definitely been a really good friend to have. And as far as people helping me, I tell you that little bit about going through chemo and I don't say that to have pity on me, but I've had a lot of people really help me throughout the years, more than I could even comprehend, really. But yeah, if I didn't have those people there in my life at that certain time, especially, you know, even Kristen, if she didn't come and bring me that plate of cookies when I was sick, it was just, you know, I was in a really dark spot, and I didn't know what God had ahead of me.
Right. Plate of cookies.
Yeah, that was it. It just the plate of cookies that literally changed my outlook. It gave me a little bit of hope.
Yeah, which is exactly
what
we're trying to give to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. So through this process, you know, I've had friends who've walked through cancer and addiction that have often turned their view and their help away from the Lord. So what did your journey with God look like through all of this? Was it did it bring you closer to the Lord or force you to kind of refocus your viewpoint on that?
Yeah, well, especially throughout recovery. So it was a long process. And when I first had that desire that I have a problem and I need to do something, it was about a 3-year journey of literally trying everything but God to get clean, whether it was, you know, replacing it for women, medication, money, a job. You know, I've tried everything there is, and nothing. It may have worked for a month or two, and it wasn't sufficient. Actually, I went to a program in Greenwood, and there's a good friend of mine named Bryant. And again, I was at a very dark place in life, and I was just sitting on a bench, just looking out, just looking at the sky, and he came and sat by me, and he's like, "What do you think's beyond that trees?" And I just told him, "I don't know, probably more trees." And he's like, "Don't you think it's amazing that God knows like so much further beyond those trees?" And like, and what he meant by that is that even though I feel as bad as I did, and I was in as dark as a time as I was, there was still, you know, God knew, you know, what's ahead for me. And like he says in Jeremiah 29:11, he's got plans to prosper me, not put me through any evil or wickedness. So
yeah, no, that's
awesome. Really gave me hope. And remind you, at that time, I still had a very closed heart, towards God and everything. And, that him telling me that in Jeremiah 29:11, I'll never forget it. You know, that's my hope.
a hope in a future. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Did you grow up in church, or was it something later on in life where you kind of found the Lord, found faith?
Yeah, actually I did. So I did grow up in church. Like I said, I had my mom and dad, obviously, but, it was really dysfunctional. Like when we would go to church, it was normal family, everything's normal. And, you know, we just played this perfect family. But when we get home, it's, you know, it's just chaotic. My dad would beat on my mom, and, the other abuse that would go on through there. So it was really weird, that relationship. I took the image of how I looked at my dad, my actual father, and I kind of compared that to God, our father. And I was like, well, if God, our father, is going to act like, you know, if he's going to be act perfect in front of people, but just be mean and abusive behind closed doors, I don't want any of that.
Sheesh.
So I did grow up in church. But I just had a really, distorted view of what God even was. I didn't look at him as hope, or I didn't see him as merciful. I didn't know him as a forgiving God, you know. I saw him as my father, and I didn't want any part of it because my father scared me. And
Sheesh. When was the moment that kind of flipped that for you? Like, do you remember the circumstance or the time when you realized, oh?
Yeah, well, that actually, the story with what I told you with Brian, and just, you know, he asked me about the trees, that's really where it opened my heart to, you know, I tried all these other things to get clean, and they didn't work. So maybe God is going to work, because in that instant, just him telling me that verse, that, like I said, it gave me hope that I hadn't felt. And, you know, I never felt, like, since I was a kid, it's always been a what I thought was hope or what I thought was happiness. It wasn't happiness. It was, wow. it was totally opposite of that. So I felt that hope and I was like, man, there might be a chance for me. And, you know, like I said, I was in a program at this time too, and it just changed everything around. I started opening up my heart and my mind, and, you know, I started taking advice and, you know, just listening to other people's experiences. I wouldn't listen for, you know, I wouldn't hear them talk about something and be like, oh, well, that's not me, or they're worse than me, or I'm worse mm-hmm. than them, so we can't compare. Instead, I just look for the similarities, and you know, and you can always find similarities in anyone's right. story.
Absolutely.
And so I would just, that was my biggest thing, is just, you know, step back and just take some stuff in, be a sponge for once, instead of, you know, thinking, you know, everything, you know, maybe this God thing is real, you know? Right. So that's why I decided to give it a chance.
And one of the big things for me about this podcast, about walking in life with others too, is mm-hmm. Revelation 12, where it talks about, you know, the way that we defeat the enemies by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
Absolutely.
And so often I am reminded, even in moments where I'm confused or hurt or whatever, that like other people's stories and what they have walked through
mm-hmm.
gives me a clear picture of how good and sovereign God actually is.
Amen to that.
So thinking about, you know, where you've been and growing up with the family that you did and losing your brother, kind of like, what would you go back and tell little Shane, like 5, 10, 15 years ago? Like, what would you speak into that? Something that you know now that you wish you would have been able to like hold when you were younger?
That's a really good question. If I could go back and talk to Shane 10, 15 years ago, I would tell him to just be a kid. And, you know, I took when I was a child, it was almost like I didn't really get to be a child. Just, you know, I was always living in fear, and I felt like I was always having to try to please someone. And that's what I thought would make me happy. Another little thing about my story, I was sexually abused when I was a kid by someone in my family. And I think, well, now I do know that's probably what a lot of my abandonment issues and just feeling like I have to please people. And that's just, as a kid, that's just how I operate, instead of just being innocent and, you know, enjoying life and learning. I felt like I missed that. So if I could go back and talk to myself 10 years ago, I would tell myself just enjoy being a kid and don't worry so much about what that person's thinking, because you're not going to please everybody. And
I think it's so cool that, like, that's your advice, because whenever I go film things for social media, like reels and stuff, mm-hmm. Greenville is so fun with you and Tanya and Christy. Yeah. Like, yeah. Your story is fun. And I think you knowing that's what you would tell yourself when you were younger
wow.
is what you know now and what you believe now. And it's who you are now, which is fun and exciting. Wow. And you have so much joy. And that's why all Greenville videos are great, because you are fun. Yeah. And I like definitely see that. I can see why you would tell your younger self that, because you embody that so well now as an adult.
Thank you for that. I've never heard that, but I think that was something I needed to hear today.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Wow.
So what are your like ambitions and dreams and goals now? Like, where are you going? What are you wanting for the future after like everything you've walked through and the things that you've experienced and, you know, following the Lord so closely and so kindly for a while now? Like, where are you going now? What are you hoping for?
Well, I'm the manager at the Greenville store, and this is going to be a weird answer to some, but, you know, not that I haven't thought about my future. But really, it's just like the cliche, just taking it a day at a time. Because one thing about me, when I think too much about what I want to do, especially when it's something about the future, I will sit on that and fester on it, and just it, in turns, it just stresses me out, and it actually does more harm than good when I think about what I want. So really, I've had a change. Kind of the question I've I've started to pray and ask God what he wants. And so there's not like a single answer I can give you, but what I can tell you is that every day I am, you know, listening and just waiting for the opportunities and wherever God has me. It's just like today, before the podcast, I told you guys about, we were supposed to do this a week ago, and every day that would go past and I would make an excuse that I couldn't make it there because we were too short staffed or whatever at work. And it just felt like every day I was getting more and more anxious or stressed. And, you know, of course, when you listen to God, he'll ease your heart. That's how he eases my heart. When I listen to him. So as far as my future goes, I'm just keeping an open heart and trusting God, asking him what he wants me to do. And, you know, as long as I'm doing the right thing and trying to be more like Christ, I'll be happy with that, because in the end of the day, I'm going to go to heaven. And that's my goal.
I like that. I like how you said ease my heart.
Yeah.
Because whenever the Lord does ask us to do something, it's not completely eliminating fear or eliminating like the unknown. But it's like, hey, I'm going to be with you. It's okay. Like, I know you don't know what's going on, but we're going to make it.
Absolutely.
And so I think you're like, your whole mindset on that perfectly embodies what it means to trust the Lord and have joy in the Lord and peace of the Lord as you walk through the unknown.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the incredible thing about that is that the Lord is with everybody. Even the people that are out here listening to this, he's right there with you, you know. And it took me a while it took me 20 years till I was able to accept that and believe that. It's not something easy to believe that I'm going to be okay regardless of what this day throws at me, because I have faith. So yeah, I get a lot of confidence and serenity from just trusting in God.
But yeah, incredible. That my next question was literally, what would you say to someone that is feeling hopeless today? So you already answered that question with that. So I don't need to ask it. Well, Shane, thanks for being here today. Like, seriously, what Sarah said about fun and, you know, even I think obviously people on this podcast can't see your face at this moment, but truly hearing your testimony, some of the things that you've walked through, like the redemptive power, the hope in the future, and Jeremiah that you're talking about, you would never truly know without asking, just by knowing you on the outside, that you've been through all these different stages of life, because the way that God has redeemed and brought freedom and redemption to your life is just, I mean, it's amazing.
Amen.
Truly.
Thank you for that.
So, I've heard your story a bunch of times, and just even sitting here again listening to it, I'm like, oh.
That was my first time, and I'm just like sitting here, like just in awe, in awe of you.
There's a lot of details I can fill you guys in between, but I really
maybe
do appreciate
that. Maybe a part two later.
We'll do like an uncut Stories of Hope.
Or we bring out the video production. That's when we're going to We're just going to do the whole life.
That's awesome. Well, Shane, thanks again. Everybody, thanks for listening this week. We're excited to keep these stories rolling, and we'll see you guys next week.